cool Friday. As, temperature's a little bit cooler today. It's been overcast, and there's more rain on the way. We were talking with Don Dunn. Good to have Don back after your trip back home up to Louisville last week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Great to be back. I almost need a jacket today, it feels like.
Well, if you'd gone with your gut instinct, you might have been able to buy any jacket that you wanted.
I know. If, you know, the Maybe Brothers.
Yeah, well, and, you said because you
but
said.
But I did have the third place horse. Mm. I won $36 on a $2 show.
But what a race!
Yeah, what would
coach.
You have won though if you'd stuck with Tempo?
I don't know.
Tempo,
yeah, it was 23 to 1.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there you go. It's 46 on the.
It'd have been pretty darn good.
That's one of the. I mean, that is one
great
of
race.
The craziest things to
dead
watch.
Dead last.
I mean, that horse is in dead yep. last with you know halfway through, maybe even a little bit more than halfway through, three quarters of the way through.
Yeah,
definitely.
And it's the kick.
Yeah,
that. I mean, you go all the way from the back to chase down
and not through the middle either.
No,
outside the longest part of the track.
Outside, I mean, taking
really.
The,
yeah,
and that's what was really impressive.
That's why I did not bet him at the end because of the post position. I could kick myself. I saw the horse. Mm. I watched that Dawn at the Downs every morning during Derby week. They show you the horses training mm-hmm. at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm a weirdo. I'm up anyway. So
well, you're used to being
yeah,
up at that
and
time.
So
I love it, Coach.
I love that horse, and I love the one that scratched the Effort horse. Mm-hmm. It had the name Effort because I'm always talking about Effort with mm-hmm. football and all that. And I like the tempo because of football, but. I didn't bet him. But
I mean, Dan on Whiskey looked pretty good early on,
yeah,
the Japanese
and the
horse.
The other guy gave you Wanna, mm-hmm. what was it, came in fourth.
Mm-hmm. Commandment was up there for a while.
Yeah,
and then,
but,
and how about the jockeys, 1-2, brothers?
Yeah, brothers, the Ortiz brothers.
Oh, man. You think that comes up?
You don't lose when you bet those guys.
You think that's going to come up with Thanksgiving?
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
that one of them won the Derby and the other one didn't?
You know, those guys are feisty. They'll fight at a drop of a hat.
but
anyway, it was a great time, Bill, and it's good to be back and good to see, you know, my family and a lot of good friends. And the weather was cool up there and rainy and damp. And
you brought it back with you.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Well, but, I mean, yeah, we were just mentioning to Don here just a minute ago. I mean, yesterday, one of the strangest things because we're still under, at least as far as I know, still under a drought watch while we were under a flood watch. At the same time, you ever heard of that?
You know what? When I lived in Los Angeles,
it's pretty.
There was
well,
probably
I mean, things when it gets mm-hmm. that dry and it rains a lot.
Yes. I'm strangely familiar with this because there was about a 3-year period in Southern California where it didn't rain while I lived out there,
and it like deluge.
And then you get a month mm-hmm. of rain, and you think, oh, the drought's over. No, the drought's like you're still there. Are still you know the things you use to measure the drought, the level of the snowpack and the level of
see, that's
some of the water
west.
Levels and things. And here
well,
here
yeah,
locally,
it's the water table. I mean, the thing
yeah,
is,
right.
and the ground also mm-hmm. when it doesn't rain for that long, the ground gets dry it's and the like, water runs off the top. It
like,
doesn't sink
so,
in.
So the water table's not where
it's
it needs.
It's soaking in my yard now. I'm telling you that. Try to walk across my yard.
Yeah. You're okay for a and it sounds like we're gonna get a little bit more tonight, right? Hopefully
yeah,
they can get.
So. I think through Tuesday.
Hopefully they can get the tennis in.
Yeah,
today
yeah, yeah,
5 o'clock at Yarborough
for
Auburn and Duke in the round of 16 in the in the women's tennis championship. Baseball not in town. It rained on the baseball team last night though.
It did from the opening inning. From did you listen or watch any
yeah,
of it? Did
yeah.
you see the first inning? I mean, first inning. All right, top of the first. I mean. The A&M starter was unhittable for a good while.
State.
The state starter was, unhittable for a while. Jake Marciano started out great, struck out the first two batters, got what appeared to be a routine ground ball to shortstop. It was going to be three up, three down. Brandon McCrane just played it. He didn't really charge the ball, let the ball play him, took a little extra skip before he threw, and the runner's safe. It went as a hit. Even though it should have been a routine 6-3 putout, next batter singles off the wall to put runners at the corners. You can see Marciano is more than a little frustrated. He walks the next batter, which, I mean, he'd only walked 12 batters all year long. He walks the next batter to load the bases and then grand slam. I mean, game was over.
Yeah.
There in the first inning when, I mean, the way
Auburn's
you saw the way that looked. We talked about it a little yesterday. Power power lefties have been kryptonite to Auburn.
And you're likely to see one or two of them when you're trying to get where you need to go in the postseason, whether it's regional play, whether it's super regional play, and you hope that that's not something that – I hope you're not foreshadowing, like, the end of Auburn's season, right, where it's like, oh, you ran into a lefty that just shut you down and your starters couldn't match him pitch for pitch, although it was a rough night last night for Auburn's pitching staff.
Yeah, as well. I mean, the thing is, after L.J. Cormier came in and gave up a run, from that point on, I really think that Butch Thompson was thinking, let's save guys.
Let's get out of here.
For the next couple of ball games, because they went with some guys that you don't usually see in the opening game of an SEC
series. And there have been times this season where giving a guy that opportunity, oh, the game seems over and we're just trying to get out of here. Like, that's when Kulik. Yeah, Kulik. Kulik came in the Texas game and pitched really well, and it got you. Like, sometimes a guy can earn more opportunities doing that, but yeah, it was
not last night.
No, it was
10-3 was the final. I got a 7:30 game tonight. This one is really, really big. I mean, it's going to be, and again, it was wild last night at Duty Noble. It's going to be again tonight for that 7:30 start. And Andreas Alvarez will take the mound for the Tigers tonight, looking to calm things down.
Is it too early to say? I mean, it's one game in, but they've also played really, really well. It's like State looks like one of the safer bets for Omaha. Because I'll tell you the other thing.
Yeah, but I mean, with that guy on the mound.
Helps. But it's also, you're going to have to go there most likely in regional and super regional play, right? Like, they're also looking like a team. Like, whoever's like.
I would still say, look.
One of the safer ones.
He is by far the best pitcher they have.
Yes.
Their starter tonight's got a 440 ERA. Mm-hmm. He had a 240 ERA.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of difference.
They're ace driven.
A lot of difference there. Yeah. And look, we've seen Auburn get knocked down and bounce back so many times this year. I mean,
oh sure.
It you know, they've had games where you think, oh, this is bad. This could be bad. Now, I will say, you might be a little concerned because over the last three ball games, Auburn hasn't swung the bat very well. Remember how well they've been swinging it? They jumped out to that 5-0 lead in game two of the doubleheader last Saturday against A&M, and then didn't get a hit over the last few innings. Then were no hit for the first six innings on Sunday, and then they're no hit early last night. So it's a time where if they don't get things going early offensively, you wonder if, oh my, we talked about how baseball is a game of streaks, and you hope you're not about to go into a collective slump from your batters. So,
and the other troubling thing is the last time it looked like that on Friday, or the last time it looked like that to open a series, was probably Alabama.
Yep,
and that entire series didn't go your way, right?
You so
hopefully you can. You know, I know the first game of the Florida series. Right, you know, had frustration early, but for the most part, like Auburn's been a pretty good team in game one of these SEC series, and to lose like that is, it's troubling.
It is. It's the first time Jake had gone though on short rest.
Is it double A tonight, or is it?
Alvarez tonight.
How about this? You need him, and he's done it at least once this year. You need a stopper. Mm-hmm. Like, you need Andy Pettit to come in and reverse the momentum of the series, like, you know, like he used to have to do for the Yankees in the 90s. And I feel like tonight would be on the road facing that crowd down.
Yeah.
Against that lineup. If Alvarez delivers for you tonight, I think you feel good about every Alvarez start the rest of the season.
Sure.
Like, he's how
sure,
much
and the thing is, if he does that tonight, you probably leave him there on Fridays.
How much
for the duration.
How much more adversity is a starter facing down than that crowd on a Friday night, that lineup?
Down one zip.
Yep. I mean, I guess you could get into the specifics of, like, Auburn's probably eliminated from SEC championship contention with a win tonight, with a loss tonight. I know Georgia won last night, right? So, I mean, it's already...
No, Auburn was...
Oh, that's right.
Auburn and State were the only
teams right.
Good
played. Point. Thank you. Yeah, for some reason, I thought Georgia took game one, but
Georgia's
didn't play.
18-6, Auburn...
That's because the Bulldogs played so well last night. I just assumed that Georgia...
Auburn right now,
some of those runs.
The best Auburn can do is finish in a tie.
Sure.
So, I mean, They're a game away from elimination.
And they would need to run the table in the conference because Georgia's
Georgia lose out.
Well, and winning three against Georgia would help with that. But you'd need an LSU sweep basically this weekend
In Athens.
In Athens,
not likely.
I mean, the chips are down, but still, like, I guess mathematically speaking, right? That's another thing that's
You're
on the line.
There's still a chance,
and if Alvarez delivers tonight, depending on what happens in Athens, maybe that chance stays alive for another day or so. But huge one tonight for Auburn baseball as they try to force a split, right, and set up a rubber match tomorrow.
Yep, 2 o'clock. Is it 2 or 3? It may be 3 o'clock tomorrow.
I think that's right.
I think it is. But 7:30 tonight.
I have the schedule right in front of me, so I don't know why I said I think that's right. It is 3 o'clock Central tomorrow.
So 7:15 airtime tonight on Wings 94.3. We're just underway here on the Friday Drive. I have been sort of out of touch. Today is one of those days, actually the next couple of days, where year-end school events and programs are going on. We got Kennedy's year-end 3- and 4-year-old program from her daycare school is what she's doing. I mean, they did learn. She learned a little. They learned a little Spanish because they sang a song that had some Spanish in it. But we got that this morning. the nieces Auburn High choral group show tonight, and then got Kennedy's dance thing tomorrow morning. So it's that time of year where there are a lot of things going on from year-end school groups the extracurricular activities.
Yeah, it's that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So looking forward to that. All right, we'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about, like I was saying, so I haven't seen an awful lot. Is there any?
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, I think this was in the last day or so that the 76 team field was finalized for the NCAA. So we are getting a 76 team NCAA tournament this year, and it's crazy to look at. Like, I think today Lenardi posted his 2027 NCAA tournament bracketology update, and it's like with the 76 team field. So he's got.
Who is not in it from the Southeast.
So his new bubble is you got the last four byes, which are the last four teams that don't have to play in Dayton.
Unbelievable.
You got your last four teams in.
Well, those would still be about the last four. I mean, because you're just adding more teams that are
playing. But these are the last four teams to skip the opening round. So the last four teams that would be in without having to play in Dayton.
Yeah, so they would have been the same.
Yes.
68 teams.
Yes. Then you have the last four teams in the field overall. Mm-hmm. You have the first four out, which would be his 77 through 80, and then the next four out, which is 81 through 84. You asked about the SEC. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State is one of his next four out in the bracket right now.
Wow, they're bubbling below 80.
Oklahoma is one of his numbers. Oklahoma is one of his last four in the and this is a projection of next season, right? This is not recapping what would have happened this past year. I believe this is. I don't think this is a reevaluation of, this is.
I would hope
this is the 27.
I mean, I guess he could have gone. Here's what it would have looked like, but it would have been the same through 68.
No, and Auburn is an 8 seed for anyone wondering. In his current, Florida's the number 1 seed overall. This is 27. So I mean, again, it's jarring to see the first expanded tournament, and I wish. This is one where I wish I had the magic wand, and it's like, no, like, just go back, but there's too much revenue at stake, and there's too many, the opportunities to put big brand names on the TV on Tuesday and Wednesday playing in those qualifying matchups, those opening round matchups. I think that's what they've landed on. The opening round of the tournament is Tuesday and Wednesday. But it's like, you gotta find the silver lining somehow in that one, because it's still gonna be the NCAA tournament, and I suppose you could get a cool Cinderella from it, but just feels like you're tinkering with something that didn't need tinkering, Coach. Like, it felt like it was pretty close
you're gonna get one of Cinderella's mice is what you're gonna get.
A lot of pumpkins is what you're gonna get.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow.
All right. We're just underway here on the Friday drive. Wide open, going whatever direction you would like. 334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. So we'll get to our first break. Come on in and join us here on the Friday drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Don. With Drew, it's Triple D and Bill. I didn't realize that. Dan, right. Don, and Drew.
Yeah, that's right.
And Bill.
Coming to you in 3D.
That's right. On this Friday. And let's get to the Drive hotline. And Uncle Ollie gets us going. What's up, Uncle Ollie?
Hey, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to talk to you. So, I think some of last night was the pitchers. Marciano, and we just weren't getting the corners called. And, you know, somebody like Marciano has got to get the corners called.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when he's not, he's in trouble.
Yeah, of course, that first inning, Uncle Ollie, he has a cruise first inning. If Brandon just, you know, makes a quicker play there at shortstop, it's an easy first inning. And that kind of thing can really – it can get to you. It can get in your head a little bit, because I was really surprised when he walked the kid to load the bases, and I just felt something bad was about to happen then.
Yeah, but I will say this. The Mississippi State catcher, he's gotten framing down to an art. Mm. That guy can frame a pitch. He's really good. You watch him tonight. He can really frame a pitch. And so I got to thinking about this ABS that they're going to institute in Hoover, and how that's going to affect umpires, knowing that they have this ABS. So my question is that going to make them more, I don't know what the word would be, honest? Or are they going to be more scared to call that outside pitch or that inside pitch, knowing that there's a computer that's watching them and they can be challenged? I mean, I'm just wondering, in the back of their head, are they thinking,
is it going to be better for hitters or the pitchers? And I would think initially it would be better for the hitters. They're not going to give them much on the outside. They'd probably rather have a pitcher challenge and have it called a strike than have hitters challenging and have them call balls.
I'll tell you what, Uncle Ollie. I would put the challenge out there to anyone listening who's been an umpire in any significant capacity before. It's like, would having an ABS system change the way you would have called in any meaningful way?
I hope not, but I want to give
umpires the benefit of the doubt and be like, I don't think an ABS is going to change how they call, and they're already doing the best they can. And if there's a system in place where you can challenge and find out, they might, you know, we'll see. But I would hope that it doesn't impact the approach of anyone behind the plate.
But I guess my thing is, in any profession, if you know there's someone looking over your shoulder, there's a little bit of,
absolutely. That's a very good way. Very good way of explaining it.
Our show gets considerably worse when there's no supervision here at the station.
I understand that.
I
think it gets better.
When we show up at 4 o'clock and we're the only people here.
That's true.
Hey, I also say this. I'm a huge fan. I think Dre Alvarez tonight is going to be the man. That dude is just – he's a bulldog. No pun intended.
No.
I think that he is just a bulldog. I do not think he's going to back down. I think he's going to go in there at guns a-blazing. I really have total confidence. I might be wrong, but I really and truly believe that he's going to do his thing tonight. The question is, will the bats be there?
That's what I said. I mean, generally Auburn has bounced back really well, but it's three games, most of the last three games, Auburn has not swung the bats very well.
No. And the last thing, and I would never back in the day call out a player, but now that they're making money, I think it's fair game. Bub Terrell needs to quit swinging for the fence. He's swinging for the fences almost every time he swings.
I felt like last night, Uncle Ollie, that he wasn't the only one.
Oh, I agree.
It looked to me last night like everybody was trying to play home run derby.
And that's something that
that didn't work against that kid last night.
Tell you what, that's something Butch has talked about when the team falls behind by multiple runs and you sort of abandon the fundamentals and just try to get it all back with one swing. And just try to, mm-hmm. and that can only make that sometimes it can make things worse, right? Because you're going to need to string quality at bats.
Bad habits too. Yeah. I mean, yep.
Yeah, I've never coached football in life, but if I was coaching the pitcher, throw everything low to Bub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if you can throw low breaking balls, definitely.
That's right. But anyway, hey, listen, it's all gravy from here on. I think we're going to do good tonight. I just have this feeling. I don't know why, but I just think they're going to do well. I'm a big Dre fan, so anyway, let's pull them through, guys.
All right, Uncle Ollie, good hearing from you. Have a good weekend.
All right, man.
334-321-1390. Yeah, I really did feel that last night. It looked to me they're watching in the, you know, not necessarily the first inning, but man, that kid last night was he was lights out. He was really, really good. He was throwing 97, lefty. That he's just a sophomore. He will be a high draft pick next year. But yeah, it looked like everybody's just swinging from their heels last night. A lot of uppercutting. And it's like, man, you gotta just try to make contact against that guy. So, I feel good about Alvarez going to the mound. He's had five full days of rest now. So, hopefully he's good to go. I mean, he's more of a power guy. I mean, he was touching 97 last week as well.
We talked about how big last week's start was, mm-hmm. right? Because he needed to sort of reverse some momentum in his season, and all he did was mow down A&M hitters.
Yeah, 11 Ks last week.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of his best starts ever. And I would love to see if he can keep that going, because as we said, you're not going to face – between now and the end of the season, I don't know how many more difficult starts there's going to be for – a player like Alvarez, then down 1-0 in the series in Starkville against a team that's super regional good.
Oh yeah,
right. Like hosting a super like that. That's
the atmosphere. And tonight, in all seriousness, I mean tonight may be extremely important for Auburn trying to host a super regional, because we'd said, you know, if Auburn goes 3-3, if they lose this one, that means they have to win three of their last four, including that last road game at Mississippi State and home against the number one team in the conference.
You could play your way to the 9, 10, 11, 12 line, you know, in that, which is where you're hosting in the first round.
Yeah.
But you're not a super regional host, even if that's something you'd need things to break your way, right, to get to hosting super regionals.
Yeah. I mean, I think Auburn should still be a regional host. But you don't want to lose out heading down the stretch into the postseason. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports wise? We'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join us here on the Friday Drive.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 28 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, and Drew at the controls.
Is that my cue to start talking about a new subject?
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't know. I don't know what else to talk about right now.
Talked a little baseball. As Auburn prepares for a really big series against Mississippi State. We got some of coaches' stories from the Derby. Yeah. I hate that Golden Tempo isn't running for the Triple Crown. I know that's how it works.
Seeing more and more of that in the last couple of years. Yeah. There's been some talk of moving it back one more week to make it three, you know. But
and I don't want to jeopardize. I don't want to jeopardize anybody's health,
right?
Yeah, is that the? You think that's the main concern?
The health, yeah. You know, in the old days, I told somebody might have been my wife. I said, you know, the horses are getting soft like we are. You know, used to have two a days. Now you don't have that. Now you don't run into Preakness.
Well, it's like, I mean, in every sport. I mean, pitchers used to pitch every fourth day. Now maybe they pitch every sixth day.
The only sport I think right now are these daggone hockey players. They're crazy. Yeah.
They're tougher than ever.
Yeah, they play. Lower body injuries. Got a broken leg.
Yeah.
They'll skate.
That's lower body. That's
They'll lose half their teeth. And
like,
you know,
the Olympics.
Yeah, just wrap a big bandage around it.
Yeah, but you're right, Builder. I look today. I think there's only like one or two horses that ran the Derby.
Is that right?
Right now. Wow. Now, that could change. You know, the big horse that flipped over, I can't remember his name. He's supposed to run. That horse was huge. I forgot how many hands. You know, they measure a horse by human hands. And he
I always wondered whose hands they're using.
Yeah, yeah. If it's a jockey, it'll be a hand.
Really?
But if Muhammad Ali, it might have been bigger hands. But, you're right. They don't run like they used to. And it's health reason. And I heard a couple guys talking while I was up there that, that's all you get 24/7. From early morning to midnight, it's at the track starting on Wednesday, basically. And we went out on Wednesday, had a great time, but it's getting so crowded and out of hand. The little man's been forced out financially, like me. I used to go years ago.
That's not exclusive to horse racing.
Right. First time I ever went in high school, it was $3 to get an infield. This past week, I think it was $185 for an infield ticket. Wow. And that's no seats. Mm. You just stand there or sit on the ground. But anyway, the Preakness is next week, 2 weeks, and then the Belmont is 3 weeks, and some people want to move it back 3-3-3. Other people have even said 5 weeks in between.
Or a month, once a month.
Yeah, but what do you say to the ones like Secretary and those great horses that ran? But anyway.
Well, same thing. I don't know. I mean, it's a different era. I mean, it's like there aren't Iron Men in any sport the way it used to be. I mean, you used to have, you know, pitchers that threw 300 innings.
Yeah.
Man, now 200 is amazing.
Played every game. Every player played every game.
Saw an interesting piece of news in the college basketball portal before we get to our next caller. I feel like it's an appropriate piece of news as well. Will Wade does not just have one player on his roster. Abdi Bashir Jr. commits to LSU earlier today. Former Kansas State Wildcat now coming to LSU. And he averaged 13 points a game this past year for K-State.
That's funny. I thought the brothers would probably wind up together.
Yeah, well, we know where Abdi Bashir's going.
I thought we saw where Abdul was, as
his brother committed to. I know Abdi's
had, but I mean, he may not have signed. I'll check on that because I think he had. I thought there was a landing spot for him, but yeah, I mean, because that was sort of the.
He's going to San Francisco, right? He's committed to USF.
The thought was maybe the brothers will get together to wrap up their college careers.
Well, Abdi's staying in the major conference ranks, and you have to imagine
they're not staying close together.
They're not staying
San Francisco and Baton Rouge.
No, and Abdi with. You know, you consider one of the top shooters in the portal, and someone who you have to imagine will get a little bit of.
Was he
K State this past year, and I mean, I know LSU talked about pivoting to the international ranks. Still a player or two in the good old US of A.
If you can find a guy like that,
they can find
shoot like that. Yeah, take him absolutely.
Yep. Nice pickup for Will Wade in early May.
Speaking of Baton Rouge, let's head back to the phones. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Well, I've been gone from here for several weeks, but we're back now. We came back young.
You know, well, I knew you were back.
Yeah, so it's uh, it It's hard to – it's when you're 6 or 7 hour – 6 or 7 time periods away, it's hard to always remember what time to listen to your show. So I apologize. While we were gone, I could never get it right, which –
You know, we do have these things archived. I mean, you can listen to them.
Not well, go ahead, Tex.
Mm-hmm. No, well, it's if I could remember what time to listen to them, what makes you think that I'll remember to go to the podcast section or the replay section and listen? Anyway, it's hard to go away. And when we landed last night, and I'd been watching the ball game on the plane. It was tough to watch in that. The dude that State put on the mound is a dude. Mm-hmm. Really, multiple pitches for strikes. I agree. I don't know who said it earlier. I think it's been more common this year in the Southeastern Conference than I've seen in a long time. Umpires seem to change their zones depending on what the game is, where you're at in the game, in my opinion. Recently. So anyway, I didn't mean to talk over you, Dan. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say it's been pointed out to me that if you're listing LSU basketball commitments, somebody who committed to LSU football earlier this week, the number one tight end in the country, Ahmad Hudson, says that he intends to play both sports in college. And he's a 6'7" tight end / power forward that wants to be listed as one of Will Wade's commitments.
We'll see if Lane says okay to that.
That's an interesting little wrinkle as well, something you don't always see.
Yeah.
He wants two checks.
That's a good point. Good point. Double NIL.
Spoken like a financial advisor.
that's the way of the game nowadays. You know, people don't play. You give them the check before the big games, and they get a little nicked up, and they don't want to play. They don't want to get hurt and lose their other checks. It's I'm not a big NIL fan. I don't mind paying players, which has been done for a long time. But I will tell you this. I think Coach, I'm not pointing any fingers.
No, I know. Thank you.
but I know Donnie Humphrey. Let's see. I know, I won't mention any other names, but when Donnie rolls up in a one that's smoking and there's tailpipes are dragging, and then 2 weeks later is driving a brand new Cadillac, he didn't go out and buy that himself. And that's past the statute of limitations. Anyway, Donnie was a hilarious dude to be around. For those who don't know, really good defensive lineman. Did you coach him, Coach?
No, unfortunately.
No, he was before you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He was an animal.
Yes.
An animal.
Yes.
Even on the basketball court. But anyway, here's my take on our baseball team, just like most other baseball teams. You set the tone, and I think Butch had mentioned a lot of focus. When you misplay a relatively routine ball and don't get it out to get out of the inning, it tends to, I don't want to say you tighten up, but baseball tends to multiply on you when you make mistakes on easy plays. It's okay if it's a line drive and you dive and you catch it on the short hop, but I think you somewhat set the tone when you don't make the routine play. And that sometimes happens when you play freshman. And even though he's really good, it sometimes happens. So, but I don't think we're in any trouble. I don't think we had to. Did we host when we went to the College World Series in the Super Regional?
No.
In the case, no. Okay. So you can get there. All you got to do is win at the right time. So I feel like they'll be fine. And I think the biggest issue is somebody who sits behind home plate hadn't been there at the home series for the last few times will now be able to come back next weekend. So other than that, by the way, Will Wade is going to be extremely difficult to recruit against in this current environment. There's a couple couple big names from down here that are hugely involved with basketball. The chicken finger guy and a couple of the injury attorneys.
Tex, Abdi Bashir Jr. had a lot of big name suitors, and to land him to land him today is a sign that that Will Wade's not playing around. And but and the guy, the tight end that we just mentioned, Hudson, I showed Bill some of his basketball bona fides.
I didn't realize his dad, his dad was Antonio Hudson, who played at LSU.
Okay. Well, I will just tell you this. I've met Will Wade in a restaurant that kind of a family restaurant that's known for a lot of basketball players in there eating who never seem to get the same kind of check I got. But anyway, from the LSU side. But I met Will in there. Interesting guy to talk to. And he's there with his wife and kids, and he probably took 5 recruiting phone calls that time that we spoke with him in that restaurant. So that's really interesting. And one last thing. It's interesting, Coach, you brought out Muhammad Ali.
Yes, sir.
I was in the airport at, the golf place in South Carolina one year. It wasn't Myrtle Beach, the other one. Hilton Head. After playing golf at Hilton Head, and a guy walks off the plane that came in behind us, and it looked like a big commercial plane, but it wasn't. It was a big Muhammad Ali plane. And he goes, "Hey, you want to meet Muhammad Ali?" That is the biggest hands on any human being I've ever seen.
Yep.
It was like giant sledgehammers in front of me. And when he shook my hand, I never felt smaller in my life. You know, he was humongous. And even at that time, that was a little long in his career, but he still was in great shape and just a beast. So I can understand why he boxed a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And was really good at it. Long arms, long legs, big hands. Big hands. So for people listening, if you put both your hands together, that's about the size his hand is. His hand was. So anyway, I appreciate it. Sorry I hadn't been able to participate, but sometimes you got to keep Mama happy.
Yeah, glad you're back. All right. Glad you'll be back this next week.
Great stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Talk to y'all later.
All right, take care, Tex. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Plenty of time for you to join us here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Listen up, let me
tell you a story. ESPN 106.7 online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of hour number one here on the Friday Drive with Bill, Dan, and Don. Again, baseball coming up tonight. Tennis. Though we talked about that a while ago. Auburn women's tennis hosting their first ever super regional against Duke. Once again, admission free. And that's getting underway in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, and you can track. I know AuburnTigers.com will have a lot of that coverage. Our buddy Justin Lee at The Torch, who we talked to. We may get an update from Justin at some point about some of the stuff going on in some of the Olympic sports, because women's tennis, men's golf, should have some news soon as the playoff.
Yeah, they're headed to Athens as the number one seed.
That's right. So they've got the path in front of them to maybe win a second national championship in 3 years. The 2024 national champion Auburn men's golf team. Women's tennis and men's golf both with a lot still in front of them. I believe women's golf too, right? Still alive and in the hunt and trying to bring home some hardware. And then of course the baseball team still with ample opportunity to win between now and the end of the season. Mississippi State tonight, that'll be on the Auburn Sports Network. You can catch that on Wings 94.3 here in the local area. They're going to go live just after 7 o'clock, right? With the
7:15 will be here time, 7:30 first pitch.
Right, so you can catch
tonight from Duty Noble.
You can catch all that live from Starkville on the Auburn Sports Network as baseball looks to try to reverse the momentum of last night's Mississippi State win and come back to win the series.
Hey, Auburn today releasing the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame inductees, Tommy Tuberville, Jason Campbell, and former Auburn women's golf coach Kim Evans.
So, great. How about that?
Congratulations to those three. Tubbs going into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Your head guy.
Yeah, there. And the guy I recruited, Jason Campbell. So,
oh yes,
I'm really proud of him. That's great. Great news.
Kim Evans, a former player and coach for Auburn's women's golf, and
very good.
Yeah, tremendously important figure. Yeah. In the history of that program, won National Coach of the Year in the early 2000s. She's in multiple Hall of Fame organizations for her work as a player and coach.
Yeah,
yeah. So very big news, very deserving, exciting. And that is great. Yeah. Congratulations to them.
Yeah, we don't have to. I mean, we haven't gone over it in a while. Jason Campbell had an excellent career at Auburn, right? I mean, you talk about why Jason Campbell would get inducted into something like this.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. They'll remember that, you know,
how
fans are. There were fans ready to move on. Oh, yeah. Feel like, oh, Brandon's got to be the guy.
Right before 04.
Before you get the right the right offense for him there. Having to go through different coordinators every year is just it's harder than folks could ever imagine.
Yeah, Al Borges did a great job calming him down, coaching him. Jason, I think Bill was at four coordinators or three for sure.
Well, we asked. I mean, did he have somebody before Petrino?
Was Bobby only at Auburn 1 year?
Yes.
Did he have Noel? Noel?
Mazzoni.
Yeah, he would have had Mazzoni and then
so
Petrino.
Petrino.
And then the guys, Ensminger
then Hugh and Steve.
In 03.
Were the co-coordinators.
And then Borges in 04.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he would have had four. Yeah,
so
he would
it's
have,
actually five guys. I mean, because you had co-coordinators with Hugh and Steve Ensminger. Right.
But it was, I mean, we've had Al Borges on the show before to talk about, like, for all the talk that maybe Jason could be replaced before the 04 season and Auburn might go in a different direction. Borges says he was never
He
never wavered from, you know, as good as Brandon looked in that offseason, and that is true. Like, I think people were really impressed with how good Brandon Cox played in the lead up to the 04 season, but I think it was more fan driven, the idea that Brandon was going to overtake Jason.
Well, it's because of the frustration because things weren't better with Jason, plus your backup quarterback's always great. I mean, everybody always feels like the backup quarterback's got a chance to be better.
Sure.
Yeah. So, and a lot of the time, the backup quarterback's not going against the number ones.
And
that has more than a little to do with how guys look. Although Brandon was about as accurate as quarterbacks you're going to find.
That's the thing is, I think Brandon had been seen as an upgrade from, I forget who the backups were in 03. I don't think, that might have been the guy who ended up playing baseball. Was that Josh? Was that Josh Sullivan?
Yeah.
Was that like there were other, like, you had other guys in 03 backing up Jason. I don't know if Brandon was, maybe Brandon was there too, but I just remember, like, that was one of the things was frustration with Jason for sure. One of the things was there was a lot of buzz, even acknowledging that the backup quarterback's always popular. There was a lot of buzz about how Brandon was taking to the Al Borges system, and people were starting to think, okay, well, Brandon could be a really effective starter.
Hey, like, multi-year starter starting right now.
Exactly. I mean, and ended up being a multi-year starter who had an excellent Auburn career. But Jason wasn't finished yet. And the 04 season, Jason, in fact, had his best football still ahead of him and goes from being a guy that was seen as being on some kind of thin ice after 03 to the best quarterback in the conference and a first-round pick in the NFL draft and the quarterback of an undefeated team.
Yeah, Jason was a quiet kid and didn't say a lot, and, you know, sometimes I think that was held against him early in his career. You know, he was just a quiet country boy from Taylorsville, Mississippi. He wasn't real vocal, and I think that kind of hurt him early in his career, but boy, that changed, and now look at him. He's on national radio,
and he looked like a pro.
Yes,
I mean, there were times
he had the physical ability.
Oh yeah, there were times in 03 where you're just sort of waiting for it all to come together.
Yeah, and we were, everybody expected us to.
Yeah,
I mean, we were ranked and just laid an egg, to be honest with you.
And he probably took too much of the blame from some of the folks for what was going wrong with the offense in 03. But he was
always do.
But he was an easy guy to point to. And then it's, in fact, it's not, oh, Auburn needed to change quarterbacks. It's Auburn needed to change some of the things around the quarterback. And in fact, you had the right quarterback. You had the right quarterback after all, and the 04 season unleashes
just gelled
what he's capable of doing.
Yep, for sure.
Ooh. We're halfway done here on the Friday Drive.
Ronnie and Cadillac are in the Hall of Fame already, by the way. So Jason joins two of his teammates.
Pretty good backfield, yes. All in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame.
And we ran off another one.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been in it.
Well, you can only play, you know, it's tough.
That's right.
Tough to play
and
that
you only
minute.
Got one ball, as they say.
All right, we're back with the second hour of the show. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
The sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and Drew at the controls. We'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise and probably otherwise.
Yeah.
As we head into the second hour of the show, and we've got a call right here at the top, and let's get to it. And Bill gets us started this hour. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I was wondering, as a Coach Dunn, a question. Coach Dunn, you said you've been to a lot of Kentucky Derbies. Were you at the one that Secretariat won back in the 70s?
I was.
Wow.
I was in the infield.
I thought about that all week.
Yeah.
What was that like watching that?
Well, I'm going to be very honest with you.
You remember any of it, Don?
Oh, yeah. But not much. But anyway, I was in the infield, and at that time the infield was just a mass of people with porta potties. Places to bet, places to buy adult beverages and other stuff. And all you could see maybe, and it's before the big Jumbotron.
Right.
You're talking
you
about
might
73,
get to see just
a horse head.
Yeah.
Or a jockey's cap.
You'd probably hear, hear them coming.
Right.
And then there'd be a blur go by.
Yeah, but I did not see it, Bill, until I got home and watched the replay. But just an amazing horse. I'll never forget the Belmont, you know, the last race. He almost lapped the field. And I think it was under 2 minutes, 159, something like that for the Derby, which is still a record. But what a horse.
And, you know, the funny thing about it is that had Sam come along a day or a week,
any other time.
Any other time, he'd have been the Triple Crown winner.
Yeah, it was a great, great battles. That's a great movie, you know, the movie Secretariat, if you haven't seen it. And, Sham, man, what a horse.
Yeah, because he was like seconds off the first two races.
Yeah.
The Triple Crown.
Right.
He ran away with it.
Yeah.
My mom was from Kentucky. And she,
what part?
Richmond.
Oh, yeah. Richmond, home of
and,
Eastern Kentucky.
Big horse.
Yeah,
I was in high school then. I didn't really understand it, but I can remember my mom standing in front of the TV yelling, "Look at that horse run!"
Yeah,
Triple Crown.
Yeah,
because he was. I mean, will you ever see a horse win a Triple Crown by 26 lengths?
It was unbelievable, and I thought he was going to lap the last horse, which would have been unbelievable. Yeah. But there's a great picture of the jockey. In fact, I almost bought a T-shirt. He's looking back at Sham, and about a few yards from the finish line. It's a great picture, and they put it on T-shirts.
He had to be wondering where everybody was.
Yeah, what's going on? Because the other two races, like you said, Bill, were close. So, what a great horse.
That's all I got, guys. I appreciate it.
Good hearing from you, Bill. Just underway here in the second hour of the show. Don, of course, was in Louisville for the Derby this past week. And we were talking about it a little while ago. It is a shame. I mean, the days of the Triple Crown, unless things change,
yeah,
look like they could be long gone.
Yeah, it's hard, and there's a lot of pressure. You know, a couple of years ago, they had all the deaths of the thoroughbreds out in California, mm-hmm. and a lot of pressure from the PETA people and the the animal rights, and rightfully so, because they're beautiful animals. And another thing now, you got breeding rights. You know, if you got a Triple Crown,
if you got
a winner,
yeah,
one of these three races, that's where the money's made.
Oh yeah.
So you don't want to send a horse out and get, have to put them down, because you're talking about millions of dollars in breeding rights.
Mm-hmm. Coach, we were saying earlier in the week, like, this is the time period where, aside from commitments, like, I think a football coach is fine with no news right now. Like, yeah. I mean,
no late phone calls.
You land a commitment or something. That's one thing, obviously, because that's like, hey, this is a this is something about the future. I mean, you could even, I guess, there's the chance you could land a commitment for your 26 roster,
yeah,
right now. There are still football players.
Yeah, there are.
They should be nervous, but there are still football players in the portal
right
now waiting on a call for the 26-27 season.
And, right. and one thing we didn't talk about a little bit yesterday, word came out, Auburn is not hosting that big Stetson offensive lineman. There had been reports a couple of days ago that I guess it was Vandy and Auburn were going to host a 6'8", 345-pound offensive lineman from Stetson. Well, apparently, that was news to Auburn. So it looks like Vandy may be his landing spot if they're interested.
If it's in fact,
sounds like his agent put out that,
well,
maybe to try to help encourage Vandy to go ahead and make him an offer.
Yeah,
just tossed out another school, and I'm trying to think. It may have been Brian that posted. No, that didn't sit well with Auburn, because they didn't really know who the guy was.
They've never heard of him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, like you said, Bill, to get his stock up and other people interested,
yeah,
or to pull the trigger. If I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll take this guy, but Auburn
so-and-so wants him. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
It was like when I announced my commitment to Auburn, Coach, and everybody was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
who's that guy?
Yeah, me too.
No, to add someone to your roster right now, I feel like you would have to feel very good about, either it would have to be a developmental piece that you think, okay.
Well, and I think that may be what this guy is. I think he's just a sophomore.
Or you decide, like, this is a guy who can –
who can help us right now?
Who can help you right now? Yeah. And how many players in the portal?
Not many out there right now that I think that fit that category.
In May, I mean, you would think that anyone who fits that category would have been snatched up by now.
And it probably also depends on who, like an Auburn, Alabama.
Well, if you had had, we talked about the situation obviously with Brendan Sorsby. If there were a quarterback, sure. But, I mean, if you'd had an injury, I mean, you could have somebody that got injured late in the spring or during the offseason workouts, then you need another player at a position, and you'd go out and add a guy just in case, just as insurance.
Right, for backups, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting still to me. I was talking to I mentioned, Bill, a couple of the guy from Oregon State that I work with at Western Kentucky was in town. A couple of the University of Louisville coaches came over that night to see him, and we kind of talking about the portal. They say it's a zoo every day.
I'm sure they're glad there's no spring portal, though.
Right. Oh, yes.
Unless you're really, really hurting for players.
Right. And they feel good about Louisville going in. The young man from Oregon State said they got a lot of work to do, but he's excited, and I'm happy for him because it's his first, quote, full-time job. So, yeah, but they're darn glad it's still not going on. After spring.
Weather delay at Yarborough. More information.
Is there lightning or something?
When it's I would assume so.
Yeah, because we haven't seen any rain.
Yeah, in the last 15 minutes or so. I mean, they uploaded some video of warm-ups, and it's pretty overcast over there. So I don't know if they actually got some rain, but Free barbecue, free Kona ice.
Oh, wow.
While,
pizza last week. It's free barbecue this week.
While supplies last. You know, could already be gone. Who knows? But I just want to say, you know, point that out. But yeah, they're in a delay right now. They're going to try to get it in tonight. More information will be announced when it becomes available. But Auburn women's tennis against Duke in a delay at Yarborough because of weather.
Yeah, this is the first time Auburn's ever hosted a Super Regional in women's tennis, and one of the best teams in the nation, no question about it.
My back was to the window, but it is pretty overcast.
Yeah,
outside
it's overcast, but I hadn't seen any rain, at least here in our area yet.
I see some rain if I look at Drew's windshield, actually. I could see that there's
some on the truck, too.
Yeah, so I believe there has been some rain in the – evidence of some rain that's come through the area.
Yeah, and that definitely – and that's a shame. Hopefully they're able to get the get this in this evening, because it looks like more rain's coming on later tonight and at least in the morning.
And they had to move some of the action to the indoor last week, and they have that option at Yarborough if they need to. I think they'd rather play it outdoors in front of the crowds and everything, but if they got to move it indoor, they will. Right now, weather not cooperating at the moment. We'll see if it lightens up between now and the end of the night.
334-321-1390. That is the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Anything on your mind? All right, we talked with Justin Ferguson yesterday, and still nothing new to report as to Auburn basketball looking for that one more spot. We're into that second week. Stephen Pearl said he'd like to have that. Have his roster filled within a couple of weeks, and we're into the second week right now. So we'll see if there is any. I'm sure, again, as we've talked about, it's all on can they get the situation or any questions about Mantis's eligibility resolved.
And I still think that if this team, if everyone's healthy.
I think you've got enough to compete without.
Oh, yeah, I think if you had to play a game tomorrow, I think you could find minutes at the three for Thomas Dowd. You could find minutes at the three for Kevin Overton. You could play Adam Olson at the three,
and you
could
probably play Olson at the three. He's a 40% 3-point.
That's what I mean, and I think you could find 40 minutes between those three guys without stretching any of the other positions too thin. Especially if Kimball can play and if Simon Walker can play.
Yeah.
Like there's minutes to be found doing it that way.
Those guys probably wouldn't mind, because it'd be more minutes for each one of the players you just mentioned.
Yeah, but there's and there'd be more minutes in the front court for Owen Freeman and for Buki and for Narcisse.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like there'd be minutes available in the Auburn front court with Thomas Dowd playing some of the three. I think they could do it. I think they'd like to have somebody who's sort of a more natural 3-and-D who could slide in and take over some of those minutes too, and maybe provide a different look than Adam Olson, depending on what kind of team they're facing. But no, I mean, they're pretty close to finished. I think they like what they've got in the backcourt. I think they like what they've got in the front court, and they've got enough minutes at the three, but they're still a player away or so from being where they want to be. It's just, where's that player going to come from? Is it Montas? Who, you're right, has that wrinkle of now being 24 years old, trying to come over from Europe to play college basketball.
That were a concern. That we're just turned 20.
Too old. That we're past our primes. And the window's closed.
We've been past our prime for a long time.
At 24, the door is closed.
And wow, that's crazy.
But for Monta and Coach, we were talking about it yesterday, and unless the NCAA decides to make an exception, this age limit rule could also bring about the end of, he was a professional athlete in a different sport, and now he's coming back to like the Chris Winkie,
right?
Brandon Whedon types,
Ronnie Daniels.
Yeah,
I mean, guys like that. I mean, if they're done when they turn 24, they wouldn't have much time to try another sport before they came back.
Sounds like military service and religious missions.
Right.
Could
so,
be
for guys
so
and, then
BYU,
for, and then for girls. Mormon missions will be okay. Missions will be okay. But
those guys can go anywhere.
It would sure seem like playing a professional sport, playing another professional sport would be something that they would allow. We'll see how the NCAA, I'm sure it'll come up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have not seen the last of that being the case. Although, when was the last time This just hit me. I mean,
the last example of this.
Well, one of the things that used to happen would be players might not be academically eligible. Mm-hmm. You know, the football prospects might not be academically eligible. They'd go on and play baseball for a few years, and they'd be able to, take tests. Still, you know, try the standardized tests, things like that. And then
our listeners are like, there are guys that used to not be able to get in for their grades.
When was the last time you heard of a player not
being eligible?
Being academically eligible out of high school now? It's been a while.
I mean,
it has been a while.
No, I mean, sometimes you'll hear about guys having to take the JUCO route, but I feel like it's been a couple of years, right, for like a high school recruit that like, oh, we're waiting to see if he makes the cut or waiting to see if he's going to have to go to junior college. That is something that's – I mean, you used to hear more about players during the season.
Right.
Being in academic trouble or guys having to – you know, the last semester didn't go, you know, that's no longer. I think schools have invested heavily in, if we're going to put all this work into developing this football player so that he can play football for us, don't let homework stop him from being able to play, right? Like, do whatever you need to do to make sure that's getting done. And I think, for all parties involved, I think now it sounds like more than ever, it's like, don't let, get your schoolwork done in a meaningful enough way that you get to, you don't let it limit your ability to play.
Academics,
I don't think I'm talking out of turn here, but like as recently as when Chad left San Diego State to go to Northwest Florida State, remember former Auburn basketball player Chad Baker Mazzara?
Yeah.
Like I think both Chad and his coach have talked about academics playing a role in that, and the thought of like, oh yeah, you have a productive rotation piece in on your basketball team, and grades and schoolwork are going to keep him from being able to contribute. It's like, yeah, that feels like it's from a bygone era.
Ancient.
Yeah.
It really does.
That was a guy who was playing college basketball last year for part of the year for USC.
All right. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. The NCAA is now proposing ways to get more teams bowl eligible with the playoffs expanding. We're going to see more 5-7 teams. It looks like 5 wins.
I'm not going to see them.
Get you eligible. Well, yeah,
I'm not going to see them in bowl games.
Well, you'll see the advertisements for them. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. We'll talk about that and more when we come back here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive
on this Friday afternoon. And as we sort of hinted at, the NCAA's Football Oversight Committee voted yesterday to adopt a proposal that would allow conferences to fill open spots in bowl games with 5-7 teams, providing they meet, they have a 9:30 APR. And that would just open up more and more sub-500 teams to get in. I mean, now I wonder, all right, look, regardless of where the playoffs are going to go.
And 5-7 teams can go right now to the bowl games, right? It has to do with like, academic, is it APR based?
It is. It's the top teams. What usually happens is the top teams that finished under 500 by APR are the teams in order. Now this is letting conferences select their top team or their A team that qualifies. Doesn't have to be the team with the best APR. In other words,
they have to have met the minimum.
There could be 2 5-7 teams. One has a 950 and one has a 930. The conference could select either one. Now, they'd probably tick off the team if they really wanted to go that had the higher APR if they weren't selected.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, once we're getting to expansion in the bowls, in the playoff situation, and it sure looks like it's going to go to 24. If you're not one of the 24 teams selected, do you care about playing it? I mean, really, do you care at all about being in a bowl? If you're not a top 24 team playing in a bowl in the playoffs?
We probably need to be moving towards direct financial compensation for the players to participate in bowls, right? Where it's the bowls have to
give
like,
them a reason to play.
Yeah, and if they don't want to, if the players would rather wait to make sure that they're healthy going into the portal, or if they are already in the portal, depending on when some of these bowls are, or if they've decided to go focus on the draft or whatever, it's like players can make that choice, but I wouldn't mind a little bit more of. I know people talk about, oh, you should withhold money for players if they skip the bowl game or anything like that. I'd prefer more.
You can't assume.
Yeah, I would prefer more carrot than stick here, where it's like maybe reward the players that want to play in the bowl game, but don't hold anything away from players
and have the bowls be paying those players.
Sure.
So it's not having to come from your NIL. It's like, here we go. Here's your incentive. It's sort of like playoffs used to be in professional sports. It was a real incentive to make this round, or if you made it to the next round, you'd get more money.
I think that's a system that would make a lot of sense. I think maybe some bowls wouldn't survive, you know, wanting to do that.
Right.
They wouldn't look at the margins as worthwhile anymore. But keep in mind, like, as much as we try to, like, view the bowls as sort of this tradition dating back decades and like this link
decades
to the...
ago there weren't a zillion bowls with mediocre teams and
maybe it's
20% of all the all the teams in the playoffs.
Maybe it's always been so people could gamble. It feels like more than ever it's especially
I don't think that was the main reason for bowl games 30 years ago.
No.
40
no,
years ago.
Not at all. And I, you know, we've talked about this last year. I always love bowl games, but I think because of my background in 1AA.
Sure.
Small college, junior college, it was such a privilege, and you fought like heck. And I didn't care where we were going, even at Auburn in the early days. And, but yeah, those days, I don't know, Billy.
Think about it now. If you have 24 teams in the playoffs, and there's still 30-something bowls. You're talking about 100 teams.
Yeah,
You're running out of D1 teams.
You're
going
to have to start taking 4 and 8 teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there'd be enough 5 and 7 teams.
Mm-hmm. It's all going to, like you said earlier, financial. I mean, who's going to support those bowls? I mean, are you going to put $4 or $5 million if you're a company
to see teams that are 4 and 6 enough to? Yeah.
I asked you off the air, Coach, but I mean, if I gave you the magic wand and said, like, let's make you the czar of college football here, like, what's the playoff look like? And probably how many bowls are there in support of that? But it's a question that starts with what does the playoff look
like? That's the key now. That's the reason. It's like basketball. Do we keep going up every 2 years? And it's all about that dollar. If there's people willing to pay and put it on TV and support it, I guess it's going to keep going. I'd say, what did we say, 16 teams? Did we all agree on that?
I've been scared off of buys. I think it's fair to wonder, too, now that we've seen some teams lay real eggs.
Right.
Like
it's
that
been,
month.
It's been rare that the teams with buys have won.
When you have a month off and you're facing a team
that's hard.
You have a month off and you're facing a team that just won a game last week.
Yeah.
Like to me, at some point.
And you have to travel.
Well, look,
it's tough.
At some point, there's a rest versus rust argument.
Oh, yeah. Well, if Division I AA can start playing the postseason immediately when the season ends.
Yeah.
Why can't Division One do that? I mean, you know, we were talking about it the other day, Don.
Yeah.
If conference championships are gone, and it sure looks like they're gone.
Yeah.
The only exception might be Greg Sankey is saying, oh, we've got a long-term deal. I wonder if he really means that or if he's just trying to, see if the SEC can get their way.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, every other conference is acting as though – that's it. Conference championships are gone. If they're gone, let's start the playoffs.
Yeah.
And if you are going to have buys, Dan, let that bye be that conference championship weekend, and then you play the next week.
And I would, I'm warming up.
It's like during the season.
It works in the NFL. They don't have to have two weeks in between all their games.
A much longer season than we do.
I don't think it's been considered like that. That layoff is absurdly long
for
the teams that even and to the point where it stops being a reward, right? I mean, it almost feels like a new season. And it's
I know as a player and a coach, you mean we got to practice 30 more days before we play?
Yep.
after we just won our conference or we're in the top five.
Yeah, we and made the playoffs and now here. Yeah.
To the point where I'm open to, even in a way that I wasn't a couple of years ago. Like, yeah, I'd prefer a 4 or 8 or 16, even 16. Yeah. But, like, 16's a lot. But it's to the, like, I would rather see 32 than 24 because I don't think those 8 buys, from 16 to 24 are really in service of anything. And it's I know that at some point the number gets too big, and maybe 32 is
any teams 17 and on really have a shot.
No, yeah, right.
Maybe they can win a game.
That's where I like 16.
And that's like we were talking about with 76 in the basketball.
But if we're pushing it from 16 to 24, then I'd almost say if you're going to do that, then have a spot for every conference champion and go to 32. I'd rather have 16, just the best 16. Right. Mm-hmm. Then that's I'd rather have the best 8 than that system.
Well, you're not going back to 8.
I know. The toothpaste is out of the tube. But but at least with 32, the one thing, and I know that you would have some terrible games between 32 and 1.
Oh, yeah.
In that situation with small conference champions getting sandblasted. I do like the idea that you open the season, kind of like in college basketball, you open the season with every team thinking, if we handle our business in conference, there's a spot for us in the national championship playoff. I like that being the case. Even if it's a spot where you could get wiped out in the first round, there's a way to get in. That's not there, I think, for a lot of conference champions. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a spot for a group of five team right now in the playoff, but I think there are some leagues where it's like you could win. You can win all your games in conference, and there's probably not going to be a spot for you in the 12-team playoff.
Well, you know that sooner or later the SEC and the Big Ten are going to finally push for it being nothing but a Power Four playoff. I mean, it's not going to be they don't want the group of five teams even in there in the first place. Sure, they'd like an easy win, but it's another game they have to play.
Right.
You don't necessarily want to play a game, take a chance on somebody getting hurt in a game you know you're going to blow somebody up.
Right.
I wonder if you can legislate that away, though, like while you expand the playoff, right? Like if you're already earmarking a spot in 12 for a conference champion.
I think you could if you actually did break off and said, we're the power 64. Then you go ahead, can go ahead, just let's have a 64-team playoff then with the power 64, because that's divisible. That gets you to 32 to 16 to 8 to 42.
You could have 8 with the power 64 that makes a lot more sense than the system you have now.
You could have 8 conference or division champs.
You do it that
way. But you're not going to get to 8. I mean, I still think you'd probably do 16 of 64, which is not a ridiculously high percentage when you look at the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball.
The conference champions.
Best 16 teams pretty much are going to come from the Power Four anyway.
The conference commissioners would seemingly have to agree on a lot to get like a split off of 64 or a break off that. I know some folks, I think it was in CBS's preview of the Destin meetings, where they talked about like, with all the uncertainty about the future, like how crazy is like an SEC break off and saying we'll have a playoff of our four best teams at the end of the season and crown a champion, like the, you know what I mean?
I don't
mean?
Want
like,
that.
I don't want that
I don't,
either.
I don't
no.
want that. I mean, I want to know how we. I want to know how our champ compares to the champ of the Big Ten or any other team that looks to be a great team. I don't want there to be any question.
I think
let's do it. If you're gonna have a playoff, have it be a real playoff.
The concern would be that if the conferences can't play nice and if the broadcast networks can't play nice, like would leagues take their ball and just say, well, we're just gonna have like our championship will be the be all end all of it, used to be
in the climate that we're in right now. You know, nationally,
yeah.
That would sort of fit.
Oh no! It would
everybody
turn,
just split. Do you
yeah.
Know,
it would turn.
You
no.
go your way. We don't. You know. We don't believe anything you say. We're not going to pay any attention to.
It would turn college football into boxing, right? Like you'd have four heavyweight champions
belts.
At the end of the year that don't play each other.
Crazy.
I hope not. God, but then I've hoped a lot of things that have turned out.
Well, it's worked out so way. Well. It's worked out so well for boxing.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. The glory days.
Yeah.
Golly.
Compared to 5 decades ago, compared to now, we were just talking about Ali.
Right. Man, no right? kidding. Remember how big a deal?
Yeah.
How big a deal boxing was.
Oh, man.
It's a cautionary tale of what happens when you can't.
Yeah, NASCAR.
Among other things.
We'll just have our own. That's right. We're going to have our own organization.
And the golf
separation with
yeah,
the
I'll other team. Yeah, that worked really
now
well,
they're,
too.
Right, yeah. Yeah, crazy.
Brilliant ideas. Yep. All right, let's get to our bottom of the hour break. Hey, love for you to join in. Give us your thoughts. 334-321-1390 as we head into the final 25 minutes here on the Friday Drive.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn. We've got about 20 minutes to go. And, yeah, I had not seen that article. You said it was Matt Hayes for USA Today?
Matt Hayes wrote something earlier this week for USA Today covering the SEC spring meetings that are going to happen later this month down in Destin, and the talk that there's a lot of questions about the college football playoff expansion, the mm-hmm. future of the SEC championship game, among things that you know, coaches could be divided about. Or I think
and I think that's why Greg Sankey came out and made it seem like, we can't hold on. We can't just toss the SEC championship game. We have obligations. We've signed contracts.
Well, and I don't think the SEC should be like, I would say this is an instance where if the industry goes one way, like if conferences decide to abandon their conference championship games, you probably don't want to be the one standing and saying we're still going to do
it.
Either. Unless there's serious financial benefit for all parties involved to do it.
And I can't imagine that it would be more financial. There'd be more money available for sticking with a conference championship game than getting more teams into a playoff.
Right, and that's the I guess if it would be part of a corresponding move to grow the playoff, I think it'd be foolish
especially when it's guarantees like for a certain number of teams to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Matt Hayes does point out something that we talked about a little bit and you haven't heard as much, which is like the fact that the playoff staying at 12 for the season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of talk that the SEC moving from 8 to 9 in conference games would be an important bargaining chip in growing the playoff. Mm-hmm. And this year the SEC is going to play 9 games and the playoff is staying at 12. And Matt Hughes raises the possibility, like, Matt Hayes raises the possibility, like, could some of these coaches feel misled?
Yeah.
That they thought that the 9 game
would get them, yeah,
was going to be a trade off for some extra spots in the playoff.
It's like, wait, I thought we were doing this to get more teams in the playoffs and you didn't increase the playoffs.
And Matt Hayes
what are we getting out of the deal except another loss possibly.
Yeah.
And Matt Hayes also raised the possibility that like this is related to the Big Ten wanting a playoff expansion to go all the way to 24 mm-hmm. and the SEC wanting the number to stay at 16. Big Ten wanting more teams in the playoff, also wanting more playoff coverage, right? Being dispersed, you could have
more television
TV,
coverage,
TV.
Right?
Broadcast networks could get into Fox and Netflix and
because
Apple
right now ESPN has it unless it increases to more than 16.
There were NBA playoff games on Prime Video last night. They could very well play their way into. You know, I feel like the streaming services are going to be a bigger and bigger mm-hmm. part of these conversations when broadcast networks or when broadcast rights come up. But yeah, that's I mean, we'll see if anything out of the meetings in Destin. We'll see if we get anything on the coaches.
Yeah,
I have to imagine
3 weeks from now
if they have a united front on one or more of these issues, I think it would send a pretty strong message.
Yeah, but what can they do for this season?
Nothing.
You can't change your schedules.
No, we're not going from 9 to 8 this year. We're not going from we're not growing the playoff from 12 to 16 this year. I think that if the coaches let them know that the status quo was unacceptable, maybe this would be the only year of both 9 games in the SEC and a 12-team college football playoff.
Would it be crazy to have a to go back to an 8-game schedule after 1 year?
If it was made clear that the playoff's staying at 12?
But it would suck when you're one of the teams that has 5 road games this year.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, hey, that your arch rival got 5 home games.
Maybe you'd give it 2 years to balance things out for that reason. But, mm-hmm. I don't know if the SEC's made any sort of long-term commitment here. And I wonder if it was made clear to Greg Sankey and company that the playoff isn't growing beyond 12 because we have a stalemate as to how many teams should be in, I wonder if the SEC would consider going back to 8 games in that situation.
I wouldn't be stunned if they did. That would really be so. And then the rest of the country would scream bloody murder. That's not fair. We're having to play 9.
And how many coaches in the SEC, if it were totally anonymous and they had their druthers, would prefer 8 to 9 in conference game?
Don't you think, Don?
That's crazy.
You traded a bye game for a conference. I think the product is better. Like, as a consumer,
as a fan, you love as many conference games as possible.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're getting,
especially if you get them at home.
I mean, to me, a conference-wide mandate that you play 9 SEC games and you play 1 game against a major conference opponent, and you play 10 of your 12. For what tickets cost these days? You want to play that card? For what folks are paying to be in the stadium? Yeah. 10 of your 12 games you probably shouldn't play more than 2 mismatches a year. You probably should play 10 of your 12 against major conference opponents, whether that's from your league or from some other league. Everyone in the league is doing that this year. I would hate to see that go away.
I would too.
I would hate to see that diminish.
I wonder, because it seems like when you hear coaches from the other power conferences, especially the Big Ten, their coaches have been the most vocal, but the ACC and the Big 12, they all seem to want the 24 team playoff.
Mm-hmm.
You have not heard an SEC coach say they want the. Do they really want? Are they just going the party line and saying we want 16?
Bob Iger runs Disney, and he's not letting that college football playoff go to other networks. And you're not gonna hear SEC people talk about wanting the playoff to go bigger.
I wonder if SEC coaches really want it to stay at 16, or if they don't mind, but they know that that's not wise for them to be saying otherwise.
They probably not saying much.
Because, I mean, coaches from all across the country are saying we need 24 because they want more of their team to get in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what everybody wants.
Yeah, and that's why they're saying that. You're exactly right, Bill.
Which is part of the reason why coaches' opinions on what the size of the playoff should be.
With a grain of salt.
Right.
It matters.
Everybody's out for their own best interest. They're not worried about poor old Vanderbilt. Anybody.
Yeah, don't say poor old Vandy. They won 10 games last year.
I know. I see how I'm in that old rut.
And their coach is the head of the AFC.
I know. He kicked my butt, too, physically.
Yeah. Clark's pretty impressive, dude.
Sorry, Clark.
Coach, speaking of which, on coach's opinions and stuff, I mentioned this earlier. I really like that Calipari, understanding he's in a very comfortable perch at Arkansas, but I like that Calipari was willing to stand up and say, hey, expansion is maybe a mistake, but if we're going to expand the NCAA tournament, we need to make sure some of these spots are going to mid majors, and some of these spots could be earmarked for other teams in the world of college basketball. And he also says that the bigger problem is transfers, and we don't need to be worrying about fixing the NCAA tournament. We need to be worrying about the transfer market.
Right. For sure.
Gee, it's not like
our main focus should be on fixing the transfer rules, which would help not only all the teams and athletes, but teams in every sport.
Cutting down on being able to do it every year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there is a coach that has a problem with players being able to have one unrestricted transfer.
I agree.
I think all coaches are okay with that, it can happen.
Yeah.
A lot of players aren't happy. Yeah. Let them go.
Yeah.
One time.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I agree with that.
Me too.
Now, there are, and CBS did a pretty good job of collecting some names here. There have been a bunch of coaches who have spoken out against growing the NCAA tournament beyond 68. A brief list would include Mark Few, Tom Izzo, Hurley, Calipari, John Shire, Fred Hoiberg, Nate Oates.
That's a pretty good list.
These are
usually in the 64.
These are all coaches. Rick Pitino was in favor of expansion. Kelvin Sampson was in favor of expansion. Dusty May talked about why you could add more teams. So there are names on both sides of this talking about why.
Your national championship coach is in favor of it. So.
Yeah.
And Ryan Odom is a guy with an interesting perspective. He, of course, coached UMBC as a 16 seed to a win over UVA.
Right.
He now coaches UVA, and so he's he's been in
both sides.
And he said something that I've agreed with before. The biggest problem is making 16 seeds play their way into the field of 64,
right.
Like a bracket that if you're going to prioritize getting more of these major conference teams in, at least earmark every conference champion a spot in the 64 field, and then do whatever you need to do with play-ins and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Let the 24 at large teams, the bottom 24 at large teams play the play-in games. I mean, because everybody else should let all the automatic qualifiers be in the field of 64.
And he makes a really good point, which is, yes, people point out, yes, the winner of the 16 teams play-in game gets to enjoy the feeling of winning an NCAA tournament game in a way, but the physical demand of playing that game.
And then turning around and playing 2 days later?
Traveling to go to wherever the one seed is hosting and playing that one seed. Ryan Odom has said this. He was praying that his UMBC team avoided the play-in game. The year that he was a 16 seed, he said he didn't think his team would have had any chance of winning the play-in game to get into the field of 64 and then going and winning beating a one seed. I mean, even as unlikely as it is for a 16 seed to beat a one seed in any circumstance.
Yeah, they don't need to have another game 2 days before.
Like the deck is stacked enough, right? And so you don't need it stacked even more, and that's – That's a good point that I
think
about
that.
Deserved a little bit of oxygen.
There will be a lot of it. You would think it would be even tougher for teams to make that kind of run to get to the second weekend now. Because, I mean, there's more.
Oh, with the extra trip to Dayton involved? Yeah. I think it's going to be.
You've got to win three times in a week instead of twice.
It will be very.
The games will start, what, on Tuesday?
Tuesday. Yeah, there are six games Tuesday, six
TV.
Games Wednesday. Yeah.
TV,
yes. Warner
bars,
Brothers, Warner.
If I own a sports bar.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and if your team's in it, I mean, you'll make Tuesday or Wednesday a big event, right? I mean,
sure.
if Auburn's,
you won't get work done all week.
If Auburn's one of the last 24 in this season, and they're playing on Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm sure it'll be a very big deal.
Yeah.
Like around
there'll
here,
be a lot of missed classes or. Even if they go to class.
Getting ready for that. But
one of the last 24 in this year. They better make a run like they did in the NIT.
Well, I mean, they're not that far off. I mean, Lenardi's got him as an 8 seed right now in his 27
8
bracket.
A whole lot better, though. I mean, you're not going to be playing a play-in game as an 8 seed.
I wonder how far an 8 seed, though, on the at-large line, how far are you from, I mean, that's probably.
An 8 seed's playing a 1 in the second round.
Sure, no, but what I mean is as an 8 seed, you're in the probably like 30 to 40 range.
Yeah, and you should be 28 to 32, 29
right?
to 32.
And then we're talking about in the 50s is when we start getting into maybe even the 40, like in the high 40s,
probably
even
40s,
right? So you're in the tournament
just outside the top 25 when you're an 8 seed.
And I think I agree with you. I think Auburn has the team to with the backcourt you'd hope better than an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament this year. But it's It feels like it'll be very easy to pick against for those reasons. When you're filling out your bracket, it'll be easy to pick against some of those teams that played on Tuesday and Wednesday because there's a lot. I mean, and we've seen.
Of course, you're gonna have to wait. You're gonna have to wait until
see who they are
Tuesday night to pick the half the games and Wednesday night to pick the other half games.
I don't like that part.
I don't like it at all.
I like
to be able to have my bracket done
Sunday night.
Yes.
I like to have a snap reaction to the brackets on Sunday night. And now a lot of.
Ooh, there's a team or there are a few teams in there that could pull upsets
well, and you gotta
on
be,
Thursday or Friday.
And you'd hate to pick a team on Tuesday thinking, hey, you
so
know, I like, and then
they
they're going to lose on.
Tuesday teams. Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah, you play on Tuesday and then
you play on Thursday. You play Friday.
Yeah, you'll win
and
on
you know,
Tuesday.
If you play Thursday and if you play Tuesday and win Thursday, you play Saturday. So you could go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
And they wanna
or Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
I believe the thinking is they wanna have six of those games in Dayton. And they're going to have six of them in
out west, somewhere west of the Mississippi.
Somewhere west of Dayton so that teams playing on the western side of the United States can go from
don't
that
have
place
to
easily.
Travel so
easily.
Far.
They'll have to shave a couple hours
just
off of
that. Like no Triple Crown winners.
It'll be like Dayton and Vegas will
hey,
be the
right.
two
put
places.
Put them on a train. Like the old
put
days.
Put them on a bus.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, been there, done that.
Oh, man. Leave the driving to us.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We need to get to our final break of the show. Stick with us as we wind things down here on the Friday Drive.
where you shop.
And Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes. Fun times during the show and during the break. Sometimes we have more fun during the breaks than we do during the show, especially when it gets toward the end.
Story time.
Yeah. I mean, you just never know. So what you got planned this weekend, Don?
Just kind of recoup, try to save some money, and not much.
Let me know how that goes.
It won't happen. Something will happen. Right before we left, washer dryer went out, so who knows? Knock on wood. You know how that goes. Always something.
I don't know if we've mentioned it on the air, Happy Mother's Day.
To
all the moms.
All the moms out there.
Yes.
Don't forget that, fellas.
Wishing a Happy Mother's Day weekend to everyone out there. And, of course, special recognition goes to all the moms out there for all their hard work.
Good job, Dan. You might have saved me.
Appreciate it, guys.
That's right.
We know a couple of moms here on the show.
We got a little something for the mailbox.
Oh yeah.
There you go. And Bill, you know a variety of moms in your life because there are a couple of
we have three in the immediate family.
That's right.
With the two daughters-in-law.
Yeah.
So finding a place
and
on Sunday is going to be tough.
Sunday will be a busy one in the Auburn Opelika area.
Also, food drive tomorrow. You can leave cans in your mailbox. The post office will pick them up.
Oh, right on.
For the food bank.
Oh, and you know what? I'll tell you what, with gas prices getting higher, drop some food off at the food bank if you get a chance.
Donate or something. It's terrible.
Absolutely.
We are about out of time here on the Friday Drive. Again, fun show. Brian Matthews will be in with us on Monday. Again, have you seen an update on tennis? Are they?
Let me. I have not seen an update.
I haven't seen any lightning, so I'm sure it's because of the rain that we had a little while ago. But we haven't seen anything. Auburn Duke tennis, free admission over at Yarborough. So hopefully they're able to get that in and advance as they probably should. One of the best teams in the nation. Then Auburn baseball coming up.
Huge game.
No question.
Tennis got rolling in the last 5 minutes.
Good.
So they're rocking and rolling.
Great.
All right, Auburn baseball coming up. 7:30 first pitch, 7:15 airtime on Wings 94.3. Yeah, Brian will be in with us Monday. We'll look back at the weekend in baseball and everything else. Don, thanks a lot, man. Good to have you back.
Great to be here. Thank you, guys.
Dan and I'll be back with you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. And, yes, happy Mother's Day to all moms. That's going to do it for us here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.